So I was like, oh, cool. Like, I'm just going to not spend any more money on magic this week. And then, like, next week, okay. Live, laugh, love. Okay. I need to learn the archetypes. I thought I had another week.
Nope. I've been excited to go in blind, honestly. Well, not entirely blind, because I'm like looking at the Scryfall right now. But
yeah,
go in. I'm ready. So I actually did a draft last night, kind of chaos draft at my LGS. And it's weird because everybody loves the Bloomburrow draft so much that it was, because everybody picks three packs and there was just six of us. And so, like, except for me and one other person, everybody picked three Bloomburrow packs.
That's and then, insane.
So it was like a weird Bloomburrow with a twist. Between me and somebody else, I picked like a Call Time Phyrexia and like Dominaria remastered or something.
Oh, work. Okay. Those love that.
Yeah, I it reminded me how much, because I haven't been able to make it to a draft in a long time. It reminded me how much I just miss drafting.
I love drafting. Like, that is top three format for me to play. I'm in a file cube under drafting kind of writ large. Top two. Drafting's top two for me. Or just like any kind of like limited environment. It's just like I love that you get to play with the packs right then and there, right? Like it's the whole point of the goddamn thing.
Well, and also, so the thing that I am not great at with drafting is letting go of like rare cards, because I'm always like, okay, you know what? If it's not like a good rare, I will let it go. I will let the rare go. I will not cling to that as soon as I open it. But then first pack I opened was a full art Wrath of God. And so I was like, you know what? It would be really funny to play this. And I did get to play it. I did get to do a Wrath of God board wipe. And that was funny.
That's worth it. Oh my God. No, like, right. No. Cause like the pack wouldn't pick one. It's like, do I take the rare? Do I just commit to like this very particular archetype? Or do I just like, okay. I mean, I've drafted and studied Bloomburrow draft so much that I'm like, I know exactly which cards I want to take. Like, I have a list of like 50 cards that I'm like, these are all reasonable pack one pick ones for me.
Well, and the other thing I really love is that it gives me, because I, as I'm building decks, I'm finding myself, as I'm building like commander decks, I'm finding myself in this kind of not a rut, but it's like, okay, I have my same decks that I play every week, and odds are it's gonna have two out of the three between white, black, and red. And so it was like, okay, you know what? Let's add a little spice. Let's add a little flavor, because this is a deck, like, honestly, whatever I'm building in a draft, it's probably not going to be great, but it can be fun. It can do some stuff. And so I did a blue-white deck, and it actually, like, did some stuff.
I mean, like a blue-white, like, kind of control-y, like, blue-white tempo flyers?
Yeah, blue-white flyers with a bunch of removal.
Yep. That is what, like, that's one of the best. Like, I'm not entirely sure like what this environment's going to be. I'm going to go with this. Congrats on making that work in a predominantly Bloomburrow draft, because like blue, white, and Bloomburrow is terrible.
It's so the big problem, it's the same thing that we were talking about a couple weeks ago with the like raccoons in Bloomburrow.
Yeah.
Where there are some really good birds, and then there are some that are not so good because they just cost so goddamn much. And so you're never going to get out more than one a turn. But the thing is that when birds are good in Bloomburrow, they do a lot of really good shit. They give tons of bonuses. A bird tribal stuff is when you can get it out, it's pretty good.
It's nasty, but yeah, like the enablers are all like, I guess for me, it's like, it's the birds are hard to get to work, and blue just, the blue removal and the blue counter spells in Bloomburrow are, they're not the most effective, like in a limited format. Like it's easy to get outpaced, because it was like an axiom at every limited space I've been in playing Bloomburrow is like, you want to be turning shit. If you're not turning shit sideways by turn three, like you are going to lose the race unless you're extremely big brained. The psychology behind, I'm going to bring three Bloomburrow packs to a chaos draft, because I feel like Bloomburrow is such a contained space. Like, it wants all those creature type synergies that like, that's way harder to pull off in a chaos draft versus like bringing like an old core set pack.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And well, honestly, and Strixhaven is a hell of an idea. Like that's,
and that's kind of a, it was kind of really fun because of that, because like I did 5 Bloomburrow pre-releases and I've done 2 all Bloomburrow drafts. So I've drafted so much fucking Bloomburrow at this point. Being able to have a lot of those familiar cards at this point, which the one thing is actually, because it's been like a month or two since I last drafted Bloomburrow, and sitting down with it and opening up these cards again and not quite having it fresh reminded me of just like, damn, this is a really like good set. Like a lot of these cards I've played, I've found uses for, I've had, you know, utility for at one point or another. And
carrot cake, fucking carrot cake.
Carrot cake.
Oh my, carrot cake is one of the best commons of the year.
Like you get carrot cake, and if you get a couple lands out and you can play some heaped harvest, like you're golden.
Oh my god.
Heaped harvest, people sleep on heaped harvest. But the fun part about the chaos draft is that like it does inject that little bit of spice where it's like, okay, you have a lot of the tribal stuff that you can do. So you have like, okay, you have a couple birds in your deck. You can do bird tribal or rat tribal or whatever, but you can't necessarily rely on that for the full like cohesion, because you're going to have, right, you know, an Eldrazi or something. And so it kind of shifts it to, it's like, okay, so are we working like maybe just working more counter mechanics or working more removal mechanics? And it was a very fun chaos draft.
As you're describing it like that, I'm like, no, that sounds like a hell of an environment. I'm so jealous. I love that for you. Oh my god.
Well, and speaking of loving things for you, let's start with, because I feel like we could slide right into talking about Duskmourn from here, but let's go through, because I know you had some stuff that you wanted to do first.
Yeah, no. So I was thinking for a pack of the week. This is actually insane that you're like, oh yeah, someone brought pack you couldn't remember, a pack of Strixhaven and a pack of OTJ. In front of me, I have a pack of Strixhaven and a pack of OTJ.
I think it might have been Modern Horizons 2 was the last pack.
Straight up almost, I literally almost did that 3 to explore like a different draft environment to really look at. Like,
so really, really quick, because before I forget this, the only reason I remember that, I think it's Modern Horizons 2, I'll have to check the set, but there was a card, and this will kind of be like a card of the week, because we haven't been doing that consistently, but...
Oh, I do have a card of the week also, if we want to do that before we get into the crack of...
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I'll do this one real quick. Know, this is a very oddly specific one. Are you familiar with Nightscape Familiar?
It's ringing. I'm going to Google her.
Okay, it is from Dominaria Remastered.
All right, Nightscape Familiar.
Or it is an original, it's an OG card, but
yeah,
the version I got was from Dominaria Remastered. So this card was part of a celebratory decks in the early 2000s that they did for like World Champion Series with the non-legal backs.
Yeah.
And weird, just bizarre story. I received one of those decks. The first Magic cards I ever had were the 2002 Sydney, Australia, Caesar Ramau deck. And it was blue-black, which was like prophetic for me. And this is one of those cards that I remember so clearly, because I knew nothing about Magic. And it's a phenomenal deck for like just great artwork, because it came out right after Odyssey. And so it's full of all these like bizarre cards with like these kind of alien creatures and fantasy artwork. And so as a result, there are so many cards from that specific deck that have artwork that I still adore to this day. And this is Nightscape Familiar is one of them. I think
it's so colorful. Beautiful. This really is. I love the texturing on the cloth and just like his face and just like it's, he like this is like a Soulsborne zombie, you know?
Yeah. No, like it. Like, oh god, it's so.
This is, and I love that. Like, No, this is like, it's even more prophetic because this is like a Grixis engine card because it lets you blue and red spells. It's a goblin electromancer for blue and red spells.
Oh yeah, it is, isn't it?
That's insane. I love it.
Oh, now I'm going to, all right. Yeah. So the funny story with this, and God, yeah, I haven't seen this card in years, but it was one of those that I saw and I was like, oh, cause somebody just played it as a little chump on the field. And I was like, yeah. Oh, holy shit. And it's, you know, it's just, it's a two drop common, whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, immediately, hey, like deadly serious to the dude. I was like, hey, when the game's over, can I trade you for that? Like, what would you want for that? And he was like, you can just have it, like, fine. Like, he obviously saw that I was, and I'm honestly, I got some okay cards last night, but this is like happiest
this
about.
This is, it's like a 30 cent card. So the dude, yeah, but like, oh my God, that kicks, fuck. Oh my God.
And you said you had a card of the week as well.
So you've been saying that you're kind of in a rut with like deck building and cards you like gravitate towards and colors you gravitate towards. I never thought I would be the person to do this, but I'm going to pitch green for a second.
Okay. Okay.
With a red card.
Okay.
So I've been playing a shitload of Canadian Highlander recently. Like, this is absolutely my new favorite way to play Magic. I think it's perfect. I've been building like kitchen table Canlander decks with like some proxies to you're familiar with the format, right?
Not really, actually.
So it's
or I guess I don't know the difference between like just regular Commander and Canadian Highlander.
Oh, this is better. This is so much better. This is effectively what if it was 100 card singleton using Legacy's banned list. What if it was 100 card singleton, but you can play a Black Lotus?
Huh.
Identity. It's you build around archetypes. It's so the way that it works is there's a list of cards that are not banned, but rather they're given a point value. And you can have up to 10 points worth of cards in your deck. So like
okay.
Each of the original boxes is worth, you can run original boxes, but each one's worth 3 points. You can run Talarian Academy, but that's a point. You can run Black Lotus, but that's 7 points.
So you can basically run one of the boxes and a Black Lotus.
Or you could run a Soul Ring is 4 points. So you could run two boxes and a Soul Ring. I've got two decks that I've been playing against each other and just kind of like balancing with each other that are a Mardu midrange, which is to say I'm doing my best to recreate Rakdos Scam, the modern list from last year, with additional hand hate and like a kind of like token finishers and just
it's so weird that you bring up Mardu because that is my, like, that's the color of my angel deck that I've been working on.
Fuck yeah.
The commander in that one is Kalia.
Of course.
And she is just I keep finding new demons and new angels that are just the fucking worst. And I've gotten it to the point where I've now stacked it also with little guys, mostly little goblins, like one drops that I can tap to give haste. So like on turn four, as soon as I drop a fourth land, last week I was able to get out Kalia, give haste, give her lightning greaves, or Swiftfoot boots, and then also like summon one of the, like a demon that makes everybody sacrifice a creature. And then a couple turns later, I can like, and it's so, The demon angel tribal stuff is so fucked because I just got an angel that makes every creature with flying indestructible.
Oh, let's go.
They all have flying. And then I have other shit that's like, I have an angel that will blink out one target creature and all of the demons basically have ETB triggers. So yep. It's just like, I'll blink this out and then kill everything again or do a second board wipe on that.
You gonna put the Doomsday Excruciator in it?
I might. I might. It's a really fucked up deck because it also basically, outside of equipment, angels and demons, all it has is board wipes. Like, it has Hex, Obliterate, Wrath of God, two other ones.
Oh my God.
It's disgusting because I never need the mana to summon creatures, so I can just board wipe everything.
Yeah, just blow shit up. Oh my God. No, I'm obsessed.
Sorry, I completely derailed your Mardu
good.
Thing.
I will because it's Mardu, but then the other deck that I run is Gruul Stompies.
Okay.
Big, stupid, red and green shitheads. That we're trying to ramp out as quickly as possible. And it's also kind of a sneak attack deck. And the card that I would love to tell you briefly about, at least, is are you familiar with Ilharg the Razeborer?
Ilharg. I am not, but I'm looking him up right now. Razeborer is a great word.
Right? No, you know what's even better? He's a legendary boar god.
Why do... He looks familiar, actually.
And so, yeah, whenever he attacks, he's a 5-mana 6/6 with trample, which, like, if that was enough, I love a below rate fucking trampling shithead.
Oh, but god damn. Okay, that's... See...
And so, you know what you do with this? You know what you do with this?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah,
you play things with ETB triggers.
You play a Tali over and over and over.
Oh, my god.
Because you return it to your hand. It doesn't matter.
Like, and it still goes back. Well, unless somebody blocks it or.
Well, no, it's got to die. It doesn't need to do combat damage or anything.
Reach your hand at the beginning of the next step. Interesting. Put into exile from battlefield. You may put it into its owner's library. Third from the top.
Yeah. Yeah, or another fun one to do with this.
Put into exile from the battlefield. It doesn't fucking... You can't exile it from the battlefield?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, no. This thing. This is my value engine. It's just a big pig.
I kind of love that, but good God.
Yeah, he is a good God. He's a poor God.
Oh, yeah, no, literally.
He's a very good god. No, but so this is my light pitch to you to consider. Try Gruul. Try building Minsk and Boo.
Have Minsk and Boo.
Try Minsk and Boo 1-1 counters like Turbo Ramp. Like, because, I mean, frankly, the list that I've got for my Gruul Stompies is like, a Minsk and Boo deck with illegal lands.
So the thing that I would want to do with Gruul is my first instinct is, because I have a number of stacks where every time I open up a pack, because I don't have like an elf deck and I don't have a Phyrexian deck, but I have piles that I'm like, ooh, this card would be good if I ever did make one. And one of my biggest piles right now is werewolves.
Oh, werewolves, fuck.
I want to do a red-green werewolf deck because I love... I will probably wait to make that for Innistrad remastered.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Oh my god, no!
Eager
for
that.
I adore werewolves, so
and
much.
I have so many. I keep opening like new like legendary werewolves and planeswalkers and stuff. And like I could probably make an okay one at this point.
Put the Razeborer in it. He's not a werewolf, but you know what?
No, that's the other thing is I am learning to let go of my all-encompassing need for thematic cohesion if it lets me actually like do dumb stuff like that. Like there is literally there are two little goblins in my like Angel Apocalypse deck, and they help me do a lot of cool stuff, so they get to stay.
Whatever deck you put Ilharg in, I'm just gonna make one other pitch for a very off flavor if you go werewolves. You know Giant Edifige, right?
Not.
This is my son. This is, I found this in a bulk.
How do you spell that last part?
Edifige, like A D E.
Okay, Edifige. All right. Yep. Yes, I do know this fucker. Yep.
It's bug time, baby.
Yeah, I've like, seen this guy do some work.
Oh, I used to run him in my Jetmir deck with a doubling season.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah, that's like, oh my god.
Like, but that yeah. is seven with trample.
Yeah.
And an activation when it deals damage to a player is so nasty.
Yeah, you make another one.
That's such disgusting work.
Once I got Helm of the Host on it.
Oh, it's in one of the House of Horror Commander decks.
Yeah, it's in the Golgari one.
Okay. I haven't looked at the commander lists for Duskmourn, but I might have to pick up the Golgari one.
They're pretty nuts. The Simic Landfall, the Zamon deck,
yeah,
is, I think it has like a couple infinite combos just in the deck, maybe unintentionally.
Fun.
It seems really sick. All of them seem really cool. If I pick any of them up, it might be the Anamatu. The Esper Miracles, like that just...
That one looks fun.
That sounds like a blast. Oh my god. But yeah, do we want to get to Crack a Pack?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, so just to set this up a little bit, I've got two packs in front of me. One Strixhaven Draft Pack and one Outlaws of Thunder Junction Play Booster. And I thought it might be kind of fun to crack both open and compare, like, what the draft experience each of them is going to be, like each of them kind of facilitates. Because like Strixhaven, pretty straightforward. It's 15 cards, 13 are like very normal cards. One of them's a lesson and one of them's from the, what's the name of the bonus sheet on this? It's like the Mystical Archives.
And really then, quick question before you crack Strixhaven.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a modern set that you haven't opened any of because you just did not like the aesthetic?
Strixhaven, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
It's the same for me.
Yeah. No, I'm like, it's giving Harry Potter shit.
100%. Not here for
but
it.
But I'm like, I'm curious about it. And frankly, that bonus sheet. All the cards range from these would be cute in a draft environment to Demonic Tutor.
Okay.
So like, let's just see what we get.
I might take a risk and get some of those because I have one Idyllic Tutor and I want a Demonic Tutor, and it's one of those cards that I shuffle between three different decks.
Yep, I have one Demonic Tutor proxy that I swap. Oh, cute. I got a Bear Druid. That's the first card. You know what? Actually, this set's good. This set's great. I got a Professor of Zoomancy.
I'm sorry, a Professor Bear?
Yeah, he's a Bear Druid. He's a 4-mana 4/3. When he ETBs, you make a black and green pest that helps with life gain. Okay. Pillar Drop Warden. I got a Promising Dusk Mage, a Resculpt, a Prismari Campus. Oh, that's cute. It's like the shitty slow land mana fixing duel for the set that it ETBs tapped. It taps for one of two colors, and you can pay four into it to scry one. That's not terrible.
Honestly, even the Professor of Zoomancy, a 4/3 for four with a 1/1 token.
Yeah.
It's like, not terrible.
Oh, cute. Okay. So the lesson for the sets, colorless to common, scry three, then or scry two and draw a card. That's playable.
Oh, I love that.
I'm just kind of going through this a little bit quicker. I got a legendary Rutha, Mercurial Artist. It's an orc shaman. Love that. So that's one in is it for a 1/4. You can pay two to return it to my Ruth Mercurial Artist to its owner's hand. Copy target instant or sorcery spell you control. Sick. Sick. And then the rare for the pack is
on like two drop. Well, it's a 3-drop, but then two for a copy. yeah. is not, I might have to get that for my pirate deck. That's not
it's
bad.
It's not bad. And then the rare for the pack is Shali, Dean of Radiance, 2-mana 1/1 flying Vigi. You can tap to put a 1/1 counter on each creature you control. Each creature that entered the battlefield under your control this turn. Okay. Don't hate that.
Oh, and then it has a flip side.
Flip, yeah. Embros, Dean of Shadow, 4-mana 4/4. Tap to put a 1/1 counter on another target creature. Then it deals 2 damage to that creature.
So whenever, how does...
Wait. Oh, that's cute.
How do you... you were to play one of them, do you pay the other casting cost and it flips?
I think it's like most MDFCs. You just need to you pick one as it comes down. My Mystical Archive, regrowth.
Oh, nice.
So I could, that's a good hit. That's like what I really like about like this set of like that bonus sheet is like they're
all.
Oh,
is it the
like,
full art one?
It's the one with the cute border.
Oh, so yeah, like kind of almost full art.
Yeah, it's like the
that is,
green
that
and
is
yellow.
A gorgeous
it's a
card.
Gorgeous regrowth. That it's like, oh,
holy
worst
shit.
Case scenario, it's like this is playable in a commander deck.
I am oddly fixated on the like remakes of old like classic cards that are just fucking gorgeous.
Something that I think is super funny is one of the Mystical Archive cards you can crack is not legal in Commander. You can get a channel.
Oh.
Okay, and it looks like this... so I just opened the OTJ, and I think this is, like, backwards. Or, like, it's... the rare might be up front.
Right.
Oh, okay, work. Okay, this is... So we got a Basic Mountain Hollow for the set, or the pack was a Rooftop Assassin.
Nice.
Our Prosperity Times card is Murder.
Classic.
I just opened a Gold Vein Hydra. Is that thing still worth anything?
I don't know that one. I opened a lot of...
So it's an X and a green for a 0/0 at ETB.
Oh, yeah, mine. I know that
X
one.
X-1/1.
Yeah.
Is this thing worth anything still? That's cool.
My trunk.
All right, I'm just going to kind of scroll.
Yeah, it's
this.
Like $8 on TCG.
Well, cool. Ooh, Explosive Derailment. I'd probably want that to cycle. I mean, like, this does make the experiment that I wanted to do a little bit, like, more straightforward, because I'm like, I don't know if easier, like, how easy it is to draft a new, like, a new pack, especially because, like, you know, we're gonna keep up with this a little bit more, because I want to see, like, just based on color, what a pack might lead you into. This pack wants me in red, green, or black. I got 1 blue and 1 white. I got 4 green, 3 red, 3 black.
Damn.
So that is not color balanced, but it is all 5 colors, which is nice. Let's see. Versus the Strixhaven. No multicolor cards, interestingly, in the OTJ.
Really?
Yeah. I have a lot more variance, and I don't know if this is like super indicative of anything.
Or they're both draft boosters, right?
They're both draft boosters. Interesting. So I got 1 mono white card, 1 mono red card. 2 blue, 2 black, 2 green, 2 colorless spells, and 4 multicolor spells, counting the flippy, the modal dual face legendary.
Nice.
Which I think that's like, for me, that I think that's a more interesting draft experience.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I love a... like being drawn in one direction and then being like, ooh, you know what? Actually, what if? Because what I end up doing...
What if we splash this?
Exactly. And it never works out like I want it to, but that's almost part of the fun. And I what I end up usually doing for like pre-release drafts and stuff. And what I'm looking forward to doing with Duskmourne is I usually do a sideboard of one color and I will build out two. And I'll try and make it so that like what I'll probably do first draft will be white, red, black. And that way I can kind of swap out one of the colors either way. And it should kind of still fit my play style.
Yeah, no, I mean, for me, I'm like, I don't care what colors I'm playing. Like, what do I have a lot of? I guess it's more sealed than draft, but yeah, for sealed, I'm like, all right, what gets us to 24? But yeah, in drafting, I'll usually try to not draft too far outside of the main two color lane I've picked. Yeah, I digress. So like that's interesting that like of the two packs, like I think that there were no like build arounds that made sense or like any like signposts in the OTJ, whereas I had a couple in Strixhaven. But OTJ was just like, hey, here's a wacky ass Hydra right up front. Like, of course I'm going to pick that first.
I should open more. You're getting me. I'm like, you know what? Every time I open a Thunder Junction pack, I have a pretty good time with it. Like,
yeah. Well, okay. So one thing that's nice about like this pack, just kind of like thumbing through it, none of it's super annoyingly cowboy-y in a way that like I think initially rubbed me the wrong way.
Right.
And so I'm like, oh yeah, no, like once you can like, if my gripes with a set are purely aesthetics, that is on me to deal with it and deal with myself and like, you know, well, engage with it, like just engage with it mechanically, right. Which is how I've kind of started approaching Duskmourne, and I think I've been like Stockholm syndrome into really liking it. Like I'm looking at just like, is some of the super 80s-y Ghostbusters nonsense annoying? Yeah, for like 5 seconds, but outside of like outside of a limited environment, I do not need to deal with those cards, probably outside of the ones that may or may not become staples. And also like a lot of it's really cool and neat, and I love how fucking weird so many of the different like non-human creatures look.
Yeah, I'm going through everything on Scryfall right now, and I guess this would be a good segue into talking about what we're excited to play from Duskmourne.
I cannot believe I'm saying this. I really want to try to build the one archetype that I kind of have a sense of how to build is the green white survivors.
Okay.
And this is entirely because I want an excuse to play beasties. I think they're so cute. I am fucking obsessed with these big, like, oh my God, where the wild things are.
Oh yeah. With the like, weird masks. I think those are so cool.
I think, well, and it's just like lore wise, they're really, really cute. They're like the former pets of people who lived on Duskmourne that the house like contorted into these terrible monsters, but they like still care about people. And I'm like obsessed with that. And also, Kona Rescue BC in particular is going to cause problems in one format, at least for a weekend.
All right. What does that one do?
Bullshit. Bullshit.
Really, really quick on the subject of bullshit. Have you noticed there's like a secondary variant to a lot of variant cards that have like a shadow, like a creepy shadow on it.
Yeah.
What is up with that?
Collector boosters got to be filled by something.
Oh, is it a collector booster only thing?
I think it might be collector booster only. I think it's just, it's just another card treatment. I have thoughts and feelings about that.
That's too many card treatments.
Yeah.
Second main phase. If Kona Rescue Beastie is tapped, you may put a permanent card from your hand onto the battlefield. What the fuck?
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah.
If you get something with like Convoke, you can just tap for free.
Springleaf Drum.
Yeah.
Just tap it for a green. Yeah. No. There's ridiculous. So many things that like, so Kona, I don't know what Kona is going to break. I just do know that people are going to Kona into Omniscience, into Emrakul in some format. And
no, that thing is for sure
like,
going.
Like is Bestie, is Rescue Bestie a new modern like staple? Can we get there? We just get a Kona out as soon as possible and then drop an Omniscience and vomit your hand?
That is like, God. That's the kind of card that like, okay, I might be building out a red black or something, but if I draw that in a pack, I'm like, okay, well, I have to try and do something with this. I guess we build in green now.
I am looking at that and I'm like, oh, you are going to make my Gruul Stompies sneak attack deck so funny.
So funny.
Like, give me more ways of free playing my World Spine Worm. That's all I ask.
Now, outside of bigger rare cards, what are some of the, because the things I'm looking forward to are, it's weird, but I always look forward to learning the kind of commons and uncommons, because those are the things I'm going to end up with a stack of by next week. I will have at least five of like 20 cards on here. But what are some of the, like the basic ones that you're looking forward to? Because the one thing I really, really love about, because Bloomburrow had a lot of really good flavor, but I think the gameplay flavor and how it ties in to the actual mechanics is so amazing on so many different creatures here.
I think that just to start with the different land cycling creatures, cycling cycle, that's going to make the format, because this feels like it's going to be a little bit slower of a limited environment than Bloomburrow was. Like, Bloomburrow was fast as shit.
Bloomburrow is fast. Like, just one drops all over the damn place.
This feels a little bit longer, and so having a big pile of cards that are all, you know, turn two, turn three, get your little ramp, get your engine online, awesome. But then if you draw into one on like, you know, turn five or six, when you can just drop it and it's like, all right, I got a meatball. Like, those are going to be very fun in limited. And honestly, I think some of these might see play in standard Reanimator.
I could see that.
Like, they're all good hits. I mean, they're no Atraxa, obviously, but like, yeah, fuck it. A 5/7 shark ain't bad. A 5/7 Vigi shark.
Or even I'm looking at some of the other stuff like Stalked Researcher, which is a 2-drop 3/3 that whenever you fully unlock a room or drop an enchantment, it can attack as though it doesn't have defender. But even like a second turn 3/3 with defender is like that's solid.
That's solid. That's also, again, it's going to slow up the game a little bit.
I love there's this aspect of like transformation. Anyway, sorry, continue.
Well, I was going to say, just like looking at the mana value for so many of these cards that like aren't just definitely kind of not, but not designed for like Commander and other like wander playing formats. Like, I think a lot of like the rooms, the way that they look like they're going to be playing, like anticipate a much more. I'm curious what aggro looks like in Limited with this. Because I think even the most like aggro pairings still care about like Delirium is one of the like very, very, very core mechanics.
And like, Dread too.
Yeah. Oh my God. Manifest Dread. Manifest Dread's one of the, like, that's probably my new favorite mechanic of the year. Like, no,
it's always a 2/2 creature, isn't it? I'm looking at it. It never changes from 2/2. Okay.
It's always a 2/2, but you get to
see that's, okay, oh, that's fascinating.
Is Manifest Dread better, more game changing than Offspring?
Yeah. Here's the thing. It might be because Offspring, and this is a problem I had with Offspring even yesterday, is while I love Offspring, it is for so many cards with very few exception, it's like a late game mechanic. Like, it doesn't really get useful until you have enough mana to just like tank the whole cost and have like a little left over if you need to counterspell something. Whereas this, I feel, and especially if you combine this with some of Bloomburrow's like token mechanics in like a standard deck.
Oh my God. No, we are eating. Those of us who love self mill are eating so much between this and Bloomburrow.
Oh, for sure. Like, my little blue eye, my green white bunny nightmare deck is going to get some buddies off of this.
Oh, what you looking at? What you looking at?
I'm just, like, even stuff like the one Manifest Dread card that you just put a 2/2 creature out, like, that becomes other. Oh, it's not a token, is it, actually?
No, it's flipped upside down. You can cast it for later.
Oh,
and you okay, get to, well, then, you get to look at the top two cards. You effectively get to surveil two, choose a surprise gift for later, and start filling the graveyard, getting Delirium online. It's
other into your graveyard. Interesting.
It is
okay. I was completely misreading that. I thought it was a token.
No. It's Manifest Dread's crazy,
and it's all goddamn over the place too.
Like, yeah,
it's,
it is.
That's the other thing. The another big difference between that and Offspring is Offspring was like fairly limited. There was like three or four main cards in each set that had, or not even then, because it was a lot of like white and green stuff had Offspring.
It's I mean, like, obviously I'm like, oh, the Lizard Landfall had Offspring and he's bestie, but like that's because I like stupid combos. But Manifest Dread just being like, I think that like makes the set at least appear very cohesive for like how we want to get Delirium online, how we want to get there's that eye that has that pseudo delve-ish mechanic. It's Abhorrent Oculus.
Oh, okay.
Where you gotta pitch six cards from the yard as an additional cost. Geez.
Well, and see, that, like, that's another thing that stacks with like Forage. And then what are the two? Because there's a couple rat cards in Bloomburrow that if you have seven or more cards, Threshold. Like,
yeah, no, this is
such a great,
this is
like mechanical follow-up. And now I'm excited not just for like drafting, but for my standard decks.
Standard has been on fire recently, and this set, I think, gives gas to like this. It gives gas to Convoke, it gives gas to aggro, it gives gas to I'm curious to like revisit a lot of the murders at Karlov Manor face down, face up, like reveal cards, to see how that can play with like cheating out Manifest Dread, like cards that we've manifested Dread with. Like, it's, there's a lot of cool shit in this. Oh my God. Just to wax briefly on, another rare, just because I think like flavorfully, this is, I want to build it as a commander. I won't, because like it's a non-legendary and I'm not going to rule zero it, but like I think it's so sick.
Which one?
Unstoppable Slasher.
Oh yeah. Like I'm going to have fun
that
with
is him. That is just, you know, that's just Jason Voorhees.
I kind of wish that there were more like slasher cards like that.
There's
a couple.
I'm a big fan of Popular Egotist. She's not a slasher,
that's funny. I like her.
Cynical Loners, nuts.
So real quick, Ixalan is still standard legal, right?
Oh, it's gonna be for a while, yeah.
Unstoppable Slasher with Bloodletter of Aklazotz.
Does that. Yes, that is the interaction that you hope.
That's game, basically, right?
Yes. That is
Half-Life rounded up, then double the damage.
Yep.
God damn. Yep. Okay. That'll be fun. All right.
Yep. Nope.
My best friend, Bloodletter of Aklazotz.
Yeah, no, mono black aggro. Which actually it could be powered by the Cynical Loner, which is a 2-mana 3/1 that at the beginning of your second main, if she's tapped, you can entomb something.
Yeah,
you get the Bloodletter, you get any of the myriad of resurrection spells in here.
I might build something Golgari for that. I might build something green black.
I'm thinking about some kind of mono black nonsense deck. I'm thinking like mono black reanimator. Be something I need to
invest in.
Oh my God.
God damn. Yeah. Looking at Omnivorous Flytrap.
Yeah.
If there are four or more cards among types in your graveyard, distribute 2+1/+1 counters among one or two target creatures. If there are six or more, double the number of +1/+1 counters on those creatures. That's just a fucking, it's a, like, again, with the milling mechanics, that just becomes like Bristly Bill.
Yeah.
Although it's not for all creatures, it's just two creatures, but still, that's not messing around.
Yeah, combine that with an Innkeeper's Talent.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah!
Let's go. Now we're cooking.
We are cooking with gas.
Okay, yeah, I'm putting it down now. I'm making a Golgari deck with some of the... Oh, gosh, I'm so excited for Duskmourn.
Yeah, no, like, I think part of it for me was seeing some of the like the commander decks being like reviewed and released and being like, oh, okay, hold on. This is giving me better flavor. I'm getting a sense like there's such a greater emphasis on like creepy dolls and weird, like stalking horrific monsters and whatever. And there's like, yeah, there's a handful of humans. And,
but it really is just that like, from what I'm seeing on Scryfall, it's just a couple humans. Like it's mostly monsters and shit.
And the 1980s of it all is like,
it's pretty negligible, honestly.
It is deeply negligible. The thing that's popped out to me actually, in terms of just like, if we're talking pure art design, and I'm hoping that I'm right with this, is let me find both of them. So there is Fear of Abduction.
Which one is that one? Is that rare?
I believe it's a rare. These are both white cards.
Okay.
And Unidentified Hovership.
Oh, Unidentified Hovership is cool.
What I love about both of these is they're very like Roswell aliens, you know?
Yeah.
And if that's, you know, we've got the outer space, like, space opera set coming out, I think at the end of next year. If this is any indication that we're going to be going in a very like little green men and flying saucers e visual like art direction, I'm so stoked.
Do you think that might be too close to the kind of stuff they were doing with Unfinity, though? And that very like kitschy 1950s space Jetsons style?
Not if they lean heavy into like Roswell alien probing, like little dudes. Like
X-Files-y control yeah. type stuff?
Yeah. I mean, like, look at Fear of Abduction. Look at Fear of Abduction.
Because that's the one with the gray on it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. If Big that's fan. The vibe. I mean, or if we can be going in like, there's so many different directions that I think.
Well, honestly, it. Like that. Because I kind of threw out Control because Control reminds me a lot of X-Files. But that is another like pretty fertile piece of horror ground that they haven't touched on. Like a kind of House of Leaves-ish.
Yeah.
Like maybe a little bit more surreal Twin Peaksy style horror.
Because
I think there's some cool shit you can do with that like surreal, bizarre space.
I deeply wish that they'd have gone a little more House of Leaves. I wish we had a second. I wish this we were in like Blocks, you know? Oh
god.
Oh my god. Yeah. I want
So you know what they should do? I was thinking about this the other day. And you know what they should do? Instead, also, I'm looking at Dashing Bloodsucker, who is just Blade, which is very funny to me.
Oh, yeah, right.
As a very interesting choice they made. The thing with the Blocks is that I understand that they want to go like multiverse hopping, right?
Yeah.
But they're already in a spot where a lot of the characters are already kind of split up. So they could just still do the multiverse hopping, but just like come back to Bloomboro in another set, two or three sets down the line. Like not right now, because they plan yeah. out farther than that. But
no,
like,
but like, right. Like that. Oh, I wouldn't. I guess I'm down for like revisiting planes, revisiting all of the new planes that we've been to more frequently, or like bouncing between them, or like, you know, what would it mean for a set to be like in a non-Marching Machine way, like split between one or two planes?
Yeah.
But like, oh my
or
god!
Like what would this shit look like? Because we had talked about that before, but like, what would Valgavoth look like taking over another plane, like taking over yeah. Innistrad or something?
Oh my god, taking over Phyrexia.
Let's go.
Oh. Speaking of Innistrad, very briefly. You didn't read any of the story, right?
No.
Okay, so a handful of our heroes are betrayed by this guy named Winter, who has like lived on Duskmourne his whole life and is
Sexy little fuckboy.
Yeah, the fuckboy.
Okay.
He's kind of like he has a heel turn.
Very into
he,
it.
Like,
love him already.
He's a murder twink. I love a murder twink. He's a murder twink in Jund, man after my heart.
I know. I love him already. Okay, you've sold me on him.
But like in exchange for bringing all of these like sacrifices to Valgavoth, Valgavoth's like, and I will open a door for you to like escape Duskmourne from. And the door that he summons is very, very, very largely implied. Winter gets fucking got before he can escape. Unforge. Valgavoth eats him.
Which, damn.
Well, it's after everyone else escapes and Valgavoth's like, well, I guess not all's lost. I'll eat you and feel kind of better about myself. But the plane that he opened a door to is very strongly implied to be Innistrad. And I think it's so funny to be like, yeah, escape horror. Go to Innistrad, kid. I feel like they have semi-functional plumbing in Duskmourne. I don't think they have.
They have TVs and shit. Like,
yeah, I don't know if there's anything on they like Duskmourne. I'm like, if I got, I could hang. I couldn't hang on Innistrad. I feel like Innistrad's more homophobic.
Yeah. I feel unless you're a vampire or a werewolf, it seems like you're just a zombie waiting to happen on Innistrad.
And so, like, I mean, I wouldn't mind, like, okay, fine. If I get, like, immediately turned into a werewolf or a vampire, we're fine. We're fine. Like, if the door just led directly into Kessig, I would be fine. But, like, I don't want to deal with...
Oh, sorry. Continue.
I don't want to deal with that shit. I'll take my chances on Duskmourne, actually.
The one thing I'm really noticing as I'm looking through all the types is that that is one big change from Bloomborough is how much it doesn't really play into archetypes. Like there are a couple tribes or like new subgroups like Survivor and Toy and Beast. Yeah. Well, Beast isn't, but for the purposes here, they kind of have different beasts.
Yeah.
But like by and large...
This is mechanics first. This does not care about creature type.
But here's the thing. I kind of love that because that is one of the most fun aspects of like building stuff later. Being like, okay, I'm building a insect deck or I'm building a crab deck. And it's like, okay, well, scrabbling skull crab can be in your crab deck, even though it's a crab skeleton, you know? Like,
yeah, no,
that
like,
stuff is fun.
Yeah, I mean, like, I will say one of the first things I did flipping through Scryfall, like, once everything got revealed was, oh, what rats are here? Are there any toys for my Wick deck? And I'm thinking maybe Nashi, maybe.
There's only, like, two. There aren't that many rats.
No, there's... I'm thinking I would maybe put Nashi into it. And then there's, I think it's some Insidious Rats? Innocuous Rat.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I guess I could manifest Dread. That's like, they're both two mana rats, and so they do have a place in Wick because, oh my god, all that deck wants. Like, I love that it's the anti, like it's not a rat colony deck. Wick, the way that he works, like,
what is his little snails?
He just wants buddies. But
we love a guy who comes with buddies.
Yeah, I too come with buddies.
I can hear you scrolling in the background. I'm looking at thing. Oh, sorry.
I have a buddy. The way the gremlins look. Have you seen the gremlin token? Have you seen
where are the tokens?
Hold on.
Are the tokens on Scryfall? Somebody's gonna make gremlin movie proxies of those if they haven't already.
They will barely need to. Where? What? No. Oh, this is the commander one. No. No. There we go. Oh my god. Yep. Here we go. I'm gonna drop it in chat. Oh. Look at. You'll know him when you see him.
God damn, they have. Oh, yep. Oh, those are just critters.
Yeah. No, they're straight up like just kind of like a hybridized like critter gremlin like combo.
Oh, they're just little fellas.
They are like, this is, I love that it's skirting right up to just being the eponymous.
IP infringement, yeah.
But like, because they're fuzzy, they're not. And straight up, it was this art that made me understand the difference between like goblins and gremlins as it pertains to capitalism. Goblins can have jobs. You say, hey, goblin, go kill that guy. I'll be like, yeah, boss, you got it, boss. Like,
oh, this guy does not understand having a job at all.
No, this guy.
No thoughts. Head empty.
You give a goblin a sack full of gold and it's like, I need you to kill this guy. He'll be like, he'll do the Homer money can be used for goods and services. this little guy, he's going to like dump the bag of coins in his mouth and start shooting it out his nose.
Yeah, no, he will eat the coins.
He will eat the coins. He's going to eat that flashlight. He's going to glow from the inside.
I might fuck around with a, because I got the And I'm hoping Amazon, it's very much a, like, I've seen what you've done for others moment where I'm like, Amazon, you could drop that on my doorstep a day or two early. I wouldn't mind. With the big, like, not big, but the collector box. And so now I am crossing my fingers that one collector booster has one of those boys in it.
Oh my God. I hate how hard it is to get tokens, but I will move heaven and hell to get, like, when I say I need 600 of these, like,
okay. I am right there with you, except with Possessed Goat, my friend Possessed Goat.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
For anybody who doesn't know, I have a YouTube channel, Dead Domain, and my mascot is a little Baphomet. And the idea of a, like, not even memes aside, I also have a deep love of goats, but as a functional card, a one drop that you could put out turn one and then later becomes for three becomes a 4/4. Like, come on.
That's the goat of limited. I'm gonna say this right now.
Mm-hmm.
That thing's like, oh my God. I'm looking, are there many good auras? I mean, there's definitely some good auras. Yeah. Fuck it. And then put Sheltered by Ghosts on that thing, give it lifelink and ward.
Hell yeah. Ugh. Oh, I want to play so bad.
I know. Oh my God. I'm
speaking of which, do you know if, because I'm looking at the lands, do you know if they're gonna do the same thing with Bloomburrow where they had one full art every pack?
I'm not sure. I would presume that moving forward, they're going to keep with the full arts.
I hope they do.
Which I feel weird about because, like, I love full arts. I love that these are very legible full arts.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we've got two sets back to back where the full arts go really hard and are very, very, very clear what land they are. I'm looking at you, Lord of the Rings full arts. Oh my God. Great, great, great concept.
Oh, the maps are beautiful, but also
what do you tap for?
Exactly.
Hi, I play land destruction. I need to know what I'm blowing up. But yeah, though, these are stunning, and just like seeing, like, the, you know, the essence of Vel'Goth in all of them, plus just like the silhouettes of survivors, like, this is some fantastic, like, just visual storytelling.
They're gonna go really well with my because the three kinds of lands that I have my full art lands that I pull from if I'm doing drafts or whatever, and the three that I have the most of are Innistrad full arts, Phyrexia full arts, and now Bloomburrow full arts. But these are going to go really well with the Phyrexia and Innistrad ones.
These play, if you're a Phyrexian deck mainly and have these, I'm like, that scans. Not to get into my pet theory of Vel'Goth just being Yawgmoth. I hope I'm right. Oh my God.
I am going to be bummed if they don't have the full art in every pack. Like, I will be supremely bummed. I think that was such a cool move. And I, like, even though I'm looking at some of the art, and like the forest art for the default lands is gorgeous. This weird like wooden pathway through it.
Oh, with all the doors and the trees. Yeah, no. I
love that.
I love how well all of the non-full arts, like, really, really explain the world. I think better than the full arts do, frankly.
Yeah, a little bit. The full arts are very stylized.
I like that they're really consistent. But yeah. Oh my God. Also, just actually, no, excise that thought. But yeah, no, like, if you get into the lore of, like, what the different zones are called, and I'm spacing on what all the different zones of Duskmourn are called, like, they correlate with the different overseers. So it's like, you know, that you've got the Haunt Woods, you've got the, I can see the word in my head and I don't know how to pronounce it. The boiler bilge, like for Red, where it's like that's, I think that like that world building is a little bit lost in these full arts. I mean, like you can see it, you can get it, but like because they're so stylized, it like it's a little bit of a like a Where's Waldo.
Yeah.
Whereas like if you look at the second full art mountain, yeah, that's the boiler bilge. Yeah. Or the first one too, I guess. I'm like, yeah, those two. That's yep. I can't think of a better way to describe that area.
Oh, I love the non-full art mountain. And see, this goes back to like I kind of just wish they would only do full, I feel like they should only do full arts because like you are taking up half the card with the symbol that on the full art land, it's at the bottom left corner. You still know the symbol, but it's I want to see this gorgeous art expanded and given more focus.
Yeah, I mean, I think that comes down to like a functionality thing where it's like you and I both know what those symbols are and what these things mean. And like, that's not really further elaborated on the non-full arts, but that's kind of like vestigial of like that being where rules text went. And speaking from experience with like new players, explaining lands is far more complicated than we give it credit for.
That is, I suppose that is fair.
Like I accidentally handed my mom a 3-color commander deck.
Accidentally. I love how you frame it as like giving a child something irresponsible. Like, yeah, I told my child to like hold my beer. And then next I think I know he's taking a drink out of it. It's like, don't trust your parents with 3-color commanders, kids.
Well, it was a Jetmir deck, so, you know, I kind of gave a toddler a loaded gun. But, well, because in my head, I'm like, oh, yeah, Jetmir, just, like, ramp out, play big, stupid shit, hit people. Like, this is a very straightforward deck. Like, this is not a complicated deck, unless you don't understand what a fetch land does.
Yeah.
Or, like things that just say, you know, I've got a lush portico in there. I've got I've got both the red, white, and the green, white temples in there. And it's like, well, what does scry mean? What does like what colors does this? If I say that it taps for this one, does it only tap for this one? Does it tap for all three at once? Does it
having like, to explain colorless or floating mana? Yeah, that's fair.
Which, I mean, that's a whole thing in and of itself. But, like, I am all for land accessibility. I am all for lands that just make a little bit of sense. Or, like, no, you can't actually fetch for... Yeah, it has green in it, but you see how it just says land? You can't fetch for that one. Oh my God.
The other part of this is that this is going to get me like fully Halloween pilled.
Yeah.
Which oh, like I always am, but this year more than most, I've been just so, so busy. I cannot believe we're almost to October, but this is like going to be a really good way to get in that mood and in that headspace.
Yeah, no, this is, I'm like surprised they aren't dropping this in October. Like,
I mean, it's basically in October.
It is basically in October, and I understand, like, they really want to get Foundations out ahead enough of time before Christmas.
Speaking of Halloween, do you want to talk about the secret layers that they've announced for, I guess, the next wave?
Sure, let's pull those up. I've kind of seen them a little bit.
Okay. Is I think there's a Duskmourne one, there's a Chucky one, and a Ghostbusters one so far.
They're not on, okay. They're on Secret Lair's Twitter page. Okay. So Okay, yeah. I don't care too much about Ghostbusters. Like, to be like, I'm like, it's, I think it's a fun comedy. I think that it's,
I will say I fucking, like, when I say I love the first Ghostbusters movie, I love the first Ghostbusters movie.
It's a damn good movie.
My love extends to that first Ghostbusters movie and the video game that came out. But
yeah,
aside from that,
it's
very good.
I have nothing against Ghostbusters, but I'm like, it's whatever. But the Slimer as Mimeoplasm is great flavor, and low key, all the other four reprints in it, I'm not too mad about.
I'm a big fan of them. I think they're starting to do it more, where I feel for so long people complain that if you're gonna charge this premium for a reprint, it better be a reprint that isn't, you know, 5 cents.
Yeah. And
like something people actually
Windfall,
want.
I'll take those.
Yeah.
And I love that, like, they're also all cards that you would want in a Mimeoplasm deck.
Oh yeah.
I do kind of wish Escape Containment was an Underworld Breach. But that's in red, so you can't do that for this. But no, like, I think that those are stellar cards. Hold up, what are Duskhorn Showcase treatments? Oh, is that like, are they just doing, is that one of the, wait, they're printing Cat Oven into a secret lair?
I think, yeah. Oh, this yeah, is one. Doing... one of these has a, I think Doom Whisperer has a printing error.
Yeah,
I think it was Coma that has the printing error.
Oh yeah. Coma's got the weird. I don't know Coma well enough because I hate Coma. I will kill the Coma player before I have to worry about countering Coma.
Fair.
So
I'm a big fan because they've done, this is not the first time they've done like kind of chintzy retro classic horror stuff. I'm a big fan. I have two cards from like the VHS Vaporwavy horror secret lair they did.
Oh yeah.
I have a couple from the, like they did a pulp horror one at some point. Because I am probably going to be putting together like a pulp horror deck at some point.
Oh,
and
oh.
I'm just a big fan of the style, and I think the painterly art style, especially the Doom Whisperer, big fan of that.
Oh my god! Oh, speaking of just like pulpy horror, yada yada. I am very, 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 very much trying to convince. Are you familiar with Dark Moon Home Video? They're the Twitter account.
No.
They make like like,
you know what? Yes, I am.
Yes, the goofy pastiche VHS covers.
Yep.
I really want to try to convince them to take a commission. I want a Meat Hook Massacre and Meat Hook Massacre 2.
Oh, that would be like VHS covers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, those would be so good.
That would be like, I don't know what I would run them in. I would build a deck to make that happen.
I think it's just the horror thing, and I'm such a big fan of horror.
Yeah.
This set more than any other one has me wanting to like get into altars.
Yeah.
There are a couple that have been going around that are like, oh, hey, we took like Goosebumps cover art and made it into a Magic card. And I'm like, oh my God, if somebody tells me how to make altars, I will hyperfixate until I turn every Goosebumps cover into a Magic card. I swear to God.
Oh my God. Yeah. Who do you, because that has to be a commander deck, right? Like what commander is fun for that?
I don't even know, because you could do so many different colors.
This would be goofy. I don't know if it would totally... This could either be really goofy or a really, really, really fun. Commodore Guff is a Jeskai Planeswalker.
Okay.
And his whole thing is like he's recording the entire history of the universe of the multiverse within magic. Like he is telling the story constantly. And so like I don't know how many hoops you'd need to jump through to like find good Goosebumps art that like could be a planeswalker.
I have one. I have a match. If you wanted to do a secret lair type thing.
Okay.
Ramos Dragon Engine.
Okay.
Which is a card that I just put in my like all color warrior deck and I am so eager to play it at some point. And yeah. And this isn't a direct match, but with the image, you can go, do you know the cover of Shocker on Shock Street? Classic Goosebumps cover.
Off the top of my head, I'm going to look it up.
It's this giant robot praying mantis.
Oh my God. There we fucking go. See, also, giant Oedipage.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
No, but like, yeah, big robot bug. Let's go. Shit. An altar I really want to commission someone to do for me at some point is the OG Elishnorn, the 7-drop that the Grand Cenobite.
Oh, God, yeah.
As Pinhead.
Oh, fuck, yes. But let's like, go.
The trans version.
Yeah.
Oh, my, like.
It pisses me off. So I look up Elishnorn and I'm like a bunch of course, because like there's a bunch of proxies and stuff, but they're all first off. If I ever meet somebody who makes proxies out, but the proxies are anime girls that look nothing like the character, I'm going to smack them. Like especially when you have stuff right there that is good to do. That would be such a killer Pinhead, the Cenobite. I was actually thinking, again, this leads me down a weird path of just speculating. And I'm like, who would be a good commander for Chapel Roan?
Joyra?
Yeah. Well, what colors is Joyra?
Is it? I think there's, isn't there the 5-color Joyra also? No, the 5-color Sis. I know there's, but I feel like Chapel Roan's like Selesnya or Gruul.
Yeah, I feel like she would be red-white.
Boros? Okay.
Like red-white legendary knight type. But anyway, sorry. This yeah. is gonna get me on a tear. Back to, before we get way too off topic.
Well, because if you're gonna do that, you gotta get her as Joan of Arc.
Oh yeah. Like get in that
Oh shit. Actually, I should get a Hero of Bladehold. I should get a Rhea Ivor of that, actually. Fuck it.
And get it in that, was it the Dominaria remastered arts? The one with the, like...
Oh, the
stained glass?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
I love those cards. Holy shit. Like, those might be some of my favorite art treatment cards.
I love it, like, even when I'd crack, like, a bad one.
Oh, I'm yeah. Like... That and
the shitty Karn, I'm like, well, it's Karn, but this is really pretty, so
it's gorgeous. And that and the Kaldheim art treatment cards, I'm like, it doesn't matter if it's bad, I just think it looks great. Like to me, that's like value. Like that, it just looks cool. Speaking of value and looking cool, one of the others they've announced next to Ghostbusters is the Chucky secret lair.
Yeah, hold up. I haven't seen who's in it. Chucky being Carter Doomscourge is so correct. I have you ever played against Carter?
No, I have not.
Oh my God. It's Rakdos, but it's great in Grixis Fuck Your Shit. I played it. I had a Grixis Goad deck built around the Ronnie for a while. And Carter did work.
I really love, because that first Chucky card is double-sided. And yeah. That's just fantastic, like, flavor.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's him escaping from the box. The front is the box. The back is him tearing his way out. Oh, that's fucking good.
That's so fun. I really like the Play Pals Factory.
That's the last one.
The Genesis Chamber.
The Genesis Chamber. Yeah.
Great. Oh,
the art on that one's great too.
That is like, that's such a commander card. And I love it.
Varagoth, Blood Sky Sire. Oh. Tiffany. For one and black, target player searches their library for a card, then shuffles and put that card on top.
Ew. Oh, so you can just...
You can just tutor.
You got to boast, though. You gotta attack.
But, oh, okay.
Ew, that's... That's pretty good.
I mean, if you give flying or buff that up a little bit so it doesn't die each turn, like, that's not bad.
Yeah, no, I mean, she's got Death Touch.
Yeah, no, for a 3-drop with Death Touch. These are pretty good cards. The Phyrexian Reclamation, pay 2 life. Oh,
I love Phyrexian Reclamation. Another card that's a house in my Mardu midrange. I should send you the list for my Canlander decks. I need to
make lists for my decks because I'm like, okay, this is it. It's finally finished. And then I add 2 more cards.
You're not on Moxfield?
No, I am. I just haven't. I put exactly 1 deck in, and that deck is drastically changed. So I need to go change it. But I need to put in my other 3 commander decks I've made since then. So yeah, what do we think of, first off, do we think there are going to be other secret layers around Halloween? Because it seems like they're very much going hard on that. I feel like if you cross the line into open slasher territory, then you could do Freddy or Jason or Pinhead or whoever.
Just do Freddy. Okay, so what I would kill for them to do, that this will not happen, and if they did, it would sell out immediately. Give us a version. I don't even care which version of all 5 Praetors. I mean, ideally it's the one with Mother Machine, the Apocalypse, etc., etc.
Oh,
like,
God,
give
yeah.
us the crazy ones. Give them to us as reskinned versions of the Hellraiser Cenobites.
Oh, that would be so good.
I don't know what I would do for those. I need those though.
I mean, if they ever did Shouldred, which they probably should at some point in a secret lair.
They really should.
Because that card is ridiculously expensive.
I'm curious how much she'll drop once she's out of standard, but given that she's at least sees some sideboard tech, I think still in modern. I don't know how playable she is deeper than that. She was all over in modern a year ago. But yesterday I picked up, when I was picking up the couple of packs, I was also going through the singles at the shop, and they had Fable the Mirror Breaker, which is down to $12.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is crazy to think about. Down from 20, 25?
Yeah, something like that.
So I picked that up because I love that guy. I love a freaky Kiki Jiki. I'm curious if Shelly will drop at least into something kind of reasonable once she's no longer seeing standard play.
I think it will take a while and a reprint of some kind, whether that's in Masters something or
printer in a commander
Modern
deck.
Horizons. In a commander
put
deck.
Put her in the 99 of a commander deck, Wizards.
Cowards.
You know, we'll put the Battle Bond lands in there too.
Why not?
Wizards, if you can hear me.
Oh, there's a new secret layer, or Hatsune Miku secret layer?
Oh, yeah. 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 It's been bumming people out because the reprint value's not good.
Okay. Yes, I saw this one. Okay. This is the not great reprint one.
Yeah. The one where the face one, the face Miku, is Elspeth.
Yep.
Like the OG Elspeth, which I like. That's a kitchen table card. That's a fun card to play with friends. It's not viable in most settings.
What, if any, secret layers have you gotten?
I have not personally purchased a secret layer because I have not, since getting like really into Magic, I have just not had the disposable income or the timing.
Fair.
To do one of them, and especially now that they're no longer like print to demand, but limited print run. I'm just like, I've seen a bunch of them. Like, they're all really cool, but I'm like, I would want to like be looking at them for the money that I'd be dropping on a secret lair.
You'd want to play them.
Well, I would want to not only play them, but I would want to know where I'm putting them as I'm doing this. Yep. Because otherwise it's like, you know, even if the value is like, you know, roughly comparable, where it's like, oh, this is like $30 for $40 worth of cards. Am I putting them in any decks? Or is it going to be a situation where, like, you know, the other week I opened a pack of MH3, cracked the new Emrakul, and I'm like, that's cool. That's an expensive card. What do I do with it? I don't have an Eldrazi commander deck. This is not one to build around. It's a really cool card, but like,
that's kind of the way I feel whenever with like any Eldrazi. Like,
yeah, also that.
Like,
also that.
Neat, but I don't fuck with, like, I barely fuck with Phyrexians. I'm not about Eldrazi right now.
I love common Eldrazi. I love my Eldrazi Pauper deck.
I've been trying to put together a sliver deck.
Oh, yeah.
And because the thing with these kind of weird, more outsider tribes like Eldrazi, slivers, and Phyrexians is that they all buff each other up across their colors. Like, they all have all five colors in pretty, like, well, except for Eldrazi, but
no, there's Eldrazi and Luberg.
Oh yeah. I mean, but they have more just like devoid and colorless stuff going on too.
Right.
But slivers, like, it doesn't matter how old the sliver is, they are still like useful in some degree in a sliver deck. It's so crazy. I have cards from like 99 or something that I'm like, okay, that's a 2-drop 1/1, but it gives everything +1/+1. Like,
yeah,
let's go.
Oh my God. No, slivers. I love that slivers are just like evil elves.
They're such a cool, unique part of Magic lore.
Yeah.
And like both mechanically and in terms of their style.
Well, and I love that, like, mechanically it feeds, like, how they work feeds directly into the lore. Like, they're part of a hive mind. So of course, if this one's around, then this one's around, and they're like, oh yeah, of course. No, we can all do, we've always been able to do that. Are you kidding? Like, of course we all have flying death touch, first strike, poisonous two, and trample. They're a hell of a genre guy. I mean, like, I don't know. I really like Phyrexians. Like, those are, after goblins, probably my favorite creature type.
There, I bought, Costco's been having a ridiculous like packet. Have you heard about this?
No, I didn't know Costco sold Magic cards. Hold on.
So they generally don't, but they've been doing a like, it's like a holiday bundle, and it is the March of the Machine Commander decks. Two promos, one Jace, one a Johnny. A Bloomborough pack, a March of the Machine pack, and a, what's the other one? It was another set booster of something.
And they're just like standard set boosters?
Yeah. So three set boosters, two promos, commander deck for like $40.
Which commander decks?
Oh, it's Commander Legends is the other booster.
Oh, work. Okay.
And it's all the March of Machine ones. Yep.
Okay.
And so I got the black, white Phyrexian one, and I'm going to like retrofit that to be like my Phyrexian thing.
I'll send you the list of my black, white Phyrexian deck if you want.
Yeah, go for it.
Brimaz is the kind of backup commander to it. It's funny, I built this deck and then they made that and I'm like, well, god damn it, this is a more cohesive Phyrexian deck, but mine's more fun. I really want it. That's a great fucking deal.
Uh-huh. I'm probably gonna go back and grab one, the angel deck, just to, I probably want to do more than that, but like,
is that the
commander pack,
the Esper one?
Yep.
Cool. I keep meaning to pick that up because there's some shit in there that I'm like, I should get that. It's a good buddy. And just the shops around me, the only ones they ever have are the Teemer Gremlin that's not even really like a Gremlins Matter deck. And I'm like, please? I want a Gremlin deck. Especially after seeing the new Gremlin token.
Well, is there anything else we really wanted to touch on today?
No, I think we just kind of had a chat about Magic.
I feel like that's the way it goes pretty much every time we talk. But by the next time we talk, we will have played a bunch of Duskmourn.
We'll have touched the scary cardboard.
Oh god, I'm so ready.
I will be mourning the dusk.
I can't wait for all the beasts. I can't wait for all the gremlins. I'm so I need it not just as a like as a Magic fan, but like very much as a like escape from a busy life right now.
Yeah, horror to escape from the horrors.
Exactly, it helps me cope with the horrors of the world.
I hope that one and or both of us cracks a Doomsday Excruciator during pre-release,
I'll be so happy. I will be so happy if I do. I got a lot of the big cards from Bloomborough because I got Maha and Yigra and I got a Ral and a bunch of them. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
I think Maha's like at this point, Maha and Gev are like the only legendaries that I haven't hit in Bloomborough. But I got two Lumras, so I'm not too mad about that.
Yeah, I got two. I told you the story of my double Rotten Mouth Viper deck.
Yeah, that's fucked.
Oh, I love that guy.
That's fucking awesome.
Good friend. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. And we will, I guess, talk to you all next time.
Yeah, pass the turn.